Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. This interview is a bit different. Lisa Francis is a former student of mine from Loyalist College. You will hear her reference this in the interview. To avoid a conflict of interest, Olivia Waldriff, a reporter at Northumberland 89.7 FM, graciously stepped in to do the interview instead of me. So here is Green Party candidate Lisa Francis.
It's a pleasure to have with me Lisa Francis today on the show. We're looking forward to talking to her. To get started, instead of going over all the party platform stuff you have included in your speeches and campaign literature, I want you to pick one thing, just one, that you didn't include, that we won't read or hear about over the next 4 weeks that you wish you had included.
Something that I haven't said yet? Okay. It's a really interesting question. And I think something that maybe I haven't, if I have said it, I don't think I've said it enough. And that's just that, running for provincial politics is a pretty big first step into this world. And I have to say that I'm finding it to be a very interesting and challenging position and endeavor. But I think it's really important. And I think that we're very lucky to have the opportunity to vote for our leadership. And I believe that we are in desperate need of a change. That I know I've said before. But I think the important thing is that everyone needs to get out and vote. Everyone has a voice, and we are ready to listen.
Is there anything that's not included in your platform that you wish you would have included?
I believe our platform is very well-rounded. And one of the things that that I support and why I'm attracted to the Green Party is that we look at things from a holistic point of view. We're not looking to make policies in silos. We look at how everything connects to everything else. I think that that's really important critical for good leadership.
Can you just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I was born in Ajax, and I grew up in the Quinte area. I'm also a graduate of Loyalist College's journalism program. I've lived here basically my whole life. I spent 5 years in Toronto to start my career, but it was really important for me to come home to start my family. I lived in Stirling, just north of Belleville, for 10 years, and that was really important to me to have a rural upbringing for my son. He's a country boy at heart, and I'm very proud of that. I think there's a lot to that. I am a working mom. I actually work 1.5 jobs, so I'm a teaching and learning coordinator at Queen's University, but I'm also a part-time instructor at Loyalist College. I'm an Ontario girl. I love this area, and I do think that Northumberland, Peterborough South, I live in Brighton now. It's a magical area. I literally live, work, and play here, working remotely, but I think we have a very special area, and I really want to protect that.
What's one thing you have learned or been taught about being a candidate that people would be surprised to learn? Something you bring to the table that you didn't know before?
I think that I think that I'm able to speak to people, on a one-on-one level because I'm a citizen just like them. I'm not a career politician. I'm just somebody who wants to make our lives a little better and make sure that policies that impact us actually reflect our needs and our wants. And one thing I've learned is, I get to talk to people all the time, and I've really learned what some of the key issues are in this particular area. And, you read headlines, and that's great. And, you can learn stuff from that. But really talking to individuals has taught me so much.
So you said earlier that you haven't had much experience in politics. What gave you that push to join the Green Party and become their candidate?
Well, I just wanted to be involved. I think that my skills and my career lend itself well to moving things along. I'm organization and policy and things like that. So I'm not worried about that kind of, that kind of challenge. I think that that kind of stuff comes naturally to me. I just wanted to be involved because what I found in the last, the federal election, I just wasn't connecting with anyone really. And I just, in my job, I work with the ministry, and it has taught me that the government is not something far away that we can't be a part of. Government is there to lead us, and we should be involved. And when I had the opportunity, I thought, you know what, there's a reason for this opportunity, and I'm going to take it and see where we go.
So the Green Party is known for their policies on climate change. They were sort of one of the first to address it as the big issue that it is. But as it becomes a more pressing issue, you can't really run without a policy on climate change. So I'm wondering, how does the Green Party's policy stand out from the other platforms?
The other platforms include a lot of information, things that look green on the surface. But what I will say is that if you want green, you need to vote green, because we have a real plan that will really result in real net zero by 2045. We are evidence-based. We've talked to the experts, and we have a real plan. It's not a surface-level attempt at addressing climate change. And as I mentioned before, it's connected to everything else, right? Climate is the number one thing. We can't all be on this planet without climate action. And so everything's connected, and we have a real plan that will really make a big impact.
Can you give us a little detail on the plan that you have?
Yeah, sure. I think the most the key thing is phasing out fossil fuels, and we need to stop subsidizing the use of fossil fuels. We need to electrify transportation and provide opportunities for everyday people to be able to have those options.
Okay. What would you say are some of the biggest issues for climate in Northumberland? Like, what are some of the things we need to get done in our area to reduce our carbon footprint?
Sure. We really need to focus on protecting our forests and our watersheds. These are natural solutions to problems like flooding and cleaning our water. That's really, really important. Also, we have some of the best agricultural soil in the world, and we need to stop losing it to development. We lose 175 acres a day. Like, that's crazy. We need to protect those resources so that we can have sustainable local food producers, and we need to incentivize farmers to look at climate friendly approaches and technology.
What would you do for people who are hesitant because of the cost? You know, things are already getting so expensive. Yeah. So anyone who would be hesitant to vote for you because of the rising cost, even though it would be better for the planet, it's still like, you know, people have to live.
Yeah, no, absolutely. People have to live, and affordability is one of the number one issues that I'm hearing from folks. And I told you earlier, I work 1.5 jobs, not because I want to, but life is expensive. We're investing in the green and climate economy, but that results in jobs. That results in good jobs, and our plan, yes, it is. It does require investment, but it doesn't build off of the backs of middle and low income earners. We really believe that you have to support everybody, especially our most vulnerable. And when everyone, when our most vulnerable do better, everyone does better. It is. I talked about everything being connected. It's all cyclical. It's all connected, right? So poverty is the number one reason that we have such a strain on our healthcare system, right? We've got all these cracks in all these critical systems. And we have to stop pretending like we can, you know, fix them by sticking license plate stickers over them.
Speaking of affordability, you know, gas prices, groceries, they're getting very expensive. I was just wondering what your party is planning on doing to sort of fix that.
Yep. So we have the grocery code of conduct idea. We think it's really important to have sustainable local food sources, right? We talk about connected communities, and those communities need to have local sourced food. This idea of, you know, prepared foods and whatnot, that's an okay idea, but at the end of the day, we need to invest in our health, and that means getting back to locally grown fresh food. And we can make that possible, but we got to shift what's the norm, right? What's the expected?
How do we shift it?
We shift it by making it more accessible. We shift that by providing incentives for farmers and helping them, you know, with technologies and investing in them so that they can grow the food that we need and make it available to everyone.
I know your party's offering incentives for electric cars, but some people might not be able to afford the electric cars, even with the money that you're promising them. So is there anything your party has planned to lower the gas prices?
I know that we are going to stop subsidizing fossil fuels, and it's going to take time to phase those things out and get to a place where electric vehicles and electrified transportation is accessible to everybody. We know that that's going to take some time, but we have a real plan to do that.
On the topic of affordability, the Conservative Party is pushing for $15.50 an hour for minimum wage. But a living wage group that goes around to different communities in Ontario says that in order to live in Northumberland comfortably, you have to make around $18.80 an hour. So what is your plan to give the residents of Northumberland a living wage?
I'm going to focus on a minimum and living wage for our nurses and for our PSWs who take care of our elders and our sick. We are looking at doubling ODSP. Sorry, there's somebody at the door. We are doubling our ODSP rates, and we will repeal Bill 124 and make sure that nurses have a minimum wage and PSWs have a minimum wage that actually suits them and gives them the respect and dignity for the jobs that they do.
And what about like the grocery workers and retail workers, people in Northumberland who, you know, are making the $15 an hour right now and are just barely getting by?
Yeah, we absolutely support increasing minimum wage, and we're going to start with $16 this year, and we're going to increase every year by a dollar.
So you mentioned nurses. I just want to move on to long-term care. What is your party's stance on long-term care?
Yeah, so we fully support public health care, publicly funded and publicly delivered health care. We know that privatization has not done anybody any favors. My mom actually was a PSW. And even before the pandemic, like the pandemic certainly highlighted a lot of the cracks in the system. But even before that, you know, they didn't, quite often, they didn't have what they needed to do their jobs properly. And I mean, these are our elderly people. Like, they are our most vulnerable. We have to do better. They deserve better.
But what are you going to do to get sort of more people interested in becoming PSWs besides the wages?
Yeah. So we have a lot of people here who are internationally trained, and we're going to work to get them certified or accepted. Sorry, I'm not sure what the term necessarily is, and I work in post-secondary, but we're going to make sure that internationally trained healthcare workers can work in Ontario, because our greatest resource, aside from the climate, is our people. And we have to stop putting up these artificial barriers that make it hard for people to get work, right? And so our approach to healthcare starts with early childhood care. We're going to make sure that $10 a day daycare becomes a reality in Ontario so that people don't have to choose whether they are employed or they're home taking care of their family. I believe the stat was 1.5 million women lost their jobs at the beginning of the pandemic. And we know that men get their jobs back 3 times faster than women. And that is a huge part of our labor force that that's been neglected. And so we are going to make sure that there's more spots available for nurses. And we're going to ensure that the people that we have who are willing to work and want to work can work.
The Liberals have been pushing for at-home care, but they don't have any plan to implement round-the-clock care, and they have referred to the sort of long-term care model that's in place now as warehouses. And I was wondering what you think of that.
Yeah, so our focus is on community-centered care. So we want to look at Indigenous-led healing centers. We want to look at nurse practitioner-led clinics. We want to be able to provide people with community-led care, and that will ease the burden on our healthcare system. I was speaking with the Alzheimer's Society last week, I guess it was, and they were saying, you know, there's 2,600 beds being taken up by people with dementia because they can't get the care they need in the community, and the community care can be delivered at 1/7 of the cost of a hospital bed. You know, there when I talked about doing things in a different way and changing the expectations of the norm, we have to do things in a smarter, more efficient, resource-friendly way.
The community-led care, I'm just wondering, for the dementia patients, would that be, where would that take place?
Yeah, so there would be a community care clinic that people could go to and get the care that they need. We're also proponents of at-home care. The idea is that we need to give people the care they need where they need it.
Okay. Great. So the Coburg Police Service and the OPP seem to go out every week on overdose calls. And I know your platform has a policy on the opioid crisis. And I was just wondering if you could tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that we will be doing is expanding safe use sites. And again, this goes back to that idea of like connected policy. But it's going to start with addressing the mental health issues that are plaguing us, especially with our youth. So again, that sort of rounded approach to care.
Okay. We live in a time of very divisive politics. There's a lot of negativity in the legislature, and we watch attack ads. Some people may wonder whatever happened to civility in politics. Can you name one policy or one idea put forward by the Conservatives or other parties that you would support?
I'll go a little bit broader than that and just say that I would be willing to work with anybody who's willing to do the work, right? We've watched our past governments make promises, you know, send us a check every once in a while and hope that that counts as leadership. But if somebody's willing to do the work that needs to be done, so that's climate action, that's housing, that's affordability, that's healthcare, all of those things, I'd work with anybody who's willing to actually do the work. That is why I got involved in this. Because it's time to do the work. We have to stop talking about it and do the work.
So there hasn't been anything specific that you've agreed with coming from any of the other parties so far?
The NDP has jumped on our bandwagon in terms of housing. So that's like could be a good mix.
Right. Yeah, there is a housing crisis right now. And you said the NDP sort of jumped on your bandwagon. What is your policy on the housing crisis?
Yeah, so we have a plan for affordable housing, 1.5 million units. We're talking about 600,000 affordable rental units, bringing back rent control, making sure that, you know, in between tenants, the rents can't be, you know, jacked up unnecessarily. We understand that we have a diverse population who needs diverse housing options. it would take, I think, a young worker like 15 years to save up enough for a down payment for a single family home. Well, we're not all single family home owners, right? We need to have duplexes and triplexes and quadplexes and have those options. And for renters, not to be afraid that, they're going to have their rent jacked up without any real reason or benefit for that kind of thing. That one's a really, really tough one. But again, we also have to stop speculators, and we have to stop trying to line people's pockets. The Green Party is very much focused on people over politics and people over lining people's pockets.
All right. So in this riding, Northumberland, Peterborough South, the Green Party, the best that they've been able to get of the vote is 5 to 6%. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you think that you could beat that.
I'm aiming for 7. Personally, I'm aiming for 7. But I really do think, and I've heard this from a number of people, that people are starting to realize that the Green Party is not, off the map, right? We've got an amazing leader in Mike Schreiner. I don't know if you watched the debate last night, but he's so eloquent. He demands respect every time he speaks because he's a great leader, and that's what we need right now. And I think that people are ready to put, party politics aside, and I think they recognize that it's time for a change.
Green Party took a little longer to select a candidate for this riding than the other parties did. I was just wondering what the hesitation was.
I'm not really sure. I just know that when they got to me, we worked as fast as we could to get everything organized. And I've got a little team, but they're mighty, and we got it done.
Great. And to finish, tell me one of the things you're passionate about, a hobby or a guilty pleasure that has nothing to do with politics.
Honestly, my husband and I have gotten into cycling. And that's my zen, is getting on my bike. And I haven't been into the hills of Northumberland yet. I'm excited to do that. But cycling is right now my current pleasure.
Great. Thanks so much for talking to me, Lisa. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Olivia.
That was Lisa Francis, the candidate for the Green Party. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.